And moving right along here with our interviews, we have a few people from the Radio Statler staff. We just finished the keynote for today, which was Daniel Ellsberg and Edward Snowden. So we're going to talk to Johnny Xmas.
Hey, how you doing?
And we're going to talk with Side Pocket over there.
Who?
Just to get a kind of a conference reaction, you all just listened to it. We're going to get more interviews. We're hoping to get Daniel Ellsberg when he comes down. Before we do that, can you just what did you think about the your overall impression of both?
Well, Johnny, since you're the cooler of between us, I assume you go first.
Oh, we're all equally cool on radio, man. as someone who has never been a huge Snowden as a persona supporter, I very very much support what he's done and what he's attempting to do, but I've never been one to put anyone up on a pedestal or do the whole Messiah thing. I was actually I enjoyed what he had to say here a lot. I was pleasantly surprised with what he brought to the table, especially with how long he's been drawing out what he's doing and what's going on. And you know, he had his initial major dump, and it's like, how long can you stretch this out for before people go back to their televisions and cartoons mm-hmm. with their ADD and go, you know, and forget all about everything that ever happened? And definitely what he's trying to do is make sure that we don't forget, that we don't put this on the back burner and shrug it off and go, oh, well, that's just what's going on now. And so he is being very messianic and having this very strong push to go, listen, you can't let this go. And I do like how he presents that. He doesn't come off going, look, you guys, I'm sacrificing all of my freedom in order to be able to help you out. He doesn't really milk that. Which I like a lot. He's just saying, here's what's going on, here's what I did, here's what we're doing, here's what you need to do. And doesn't give it a take it or leave it kind of mentality. He says you have to take it. You can't leave this. Also in a way that doesn't present itself as saying, hey, do this because I said so. Mm-hmm. It's a do this because you have a responsibility not only as an American, but as a moral human being. You have a responsibility to see this through and have it be addressed effectively. And I really like the way that he did that. Both he and Ellsberg presented that message equally, and I was really surprised by that. I wasn't expecting it, and it's great to see that he is following up on what he did and not just dumping it and then ducking out and pulling a John McAfee and hiding out in South America for the rest of his life, just yeah. Surrounded by coke and women.
Not that that's a bad thing, per se.
to each his own. Yeah. And that was my take on it. And every time you see, oh, Snowden's going to give a talk, you go, what is he going to talk about? What hasn't he said already? Mm-hmm. And
that's an interesting point, because he has done a lot of other, you know, he was at South by Southwest, and he's been, you know, all over the place. And what I thought was really interesting about the way that this talk was presented is it was presented as a conversation between Ellsberg and Snowden and everyone else, instead of Snowden just sitting here talking to you or talking to somebody completely random, some journalist that really doesn't matter. The play between Ellsberg and Snowden and how they were able to do that was really interesting. I'm being told that we actually have a special guest here coming into the studio in a minute. So we'll go ahead and grab him.
I'll go get him.
Yeah. As we continue. But Side Pocket, dude, yeah. What are your thoughts?
Most of his elaboration of what you and Johnny have said, I mean, he seems to be, not to kind of cause flame wars, but he's like the anti-Assange in the terms of that. Even Assange, I feel like, to a degree, that one of the things I'm actually going to ask Ellsberg is about the worry of the opposite of extreme, instead of everything being controlled by government in terms of media stuff, of the over-evangelization mm-hmm. by the media of these figures, and that ego might corrupt within. So I like that Snowden is future perceptive enough to be like, this is not about me, this is about us. This is about us and our rights existing. This is us operating as human beings to go forward. Because what the government's doing is not just harming us, it's harming everyone, including themselves.
Right.
And I'm glad that that point was addressed. I also did like the sort of past confronting the future, because to me, this has almost become full circle, where I think it was Beyond Hope, where when Mitnick was currently on the run, he was called in on a cryptid landline to talk about his annexation, where he couldn't really interact with people because he was on the run. And now we have Snowden, who is now permanently stuck in Russia because he tried to, you know, do something that wasn't like legal, you know, technically legally defined, and just went out of control, and the government hates him for it. So it's kind of just like a nice symbolism of that. The technology has gotten better, but it's still the same human shit, even after like 20 years later.
It's a very good point, yeah. And it was interesting. One of the things that stood out to me in particular was when Snowden was actually addressing, because obviously at these conferences there are members of the government and members of the NSA. He was specifically addressing them. That stood out to me as a conversation that never that needed to happen, I think, and hasn't happened until this point. I think, you know, for as much press as Ed Snowden has done, this was kind of unique. This was really unique and it'll be interesting to see all the other hacker conferences that he presents at if more of this comes out.
Yeah, I'm good.
Over. And we're scrambling here to try to get our next interview lined up. I've now been left alone. I wonder if okay, Johnny's back in. We're really excited about this interview. I don't think we've had.
He's literally getting swamped out there by fans. He was just speaking with a girl.
Sorry, I had to go and change my pants because I've officially crapped them right now.
I think the highlight for Radio Statler up until this point was the Adam Savage interview, and this blows that out of the water.
And I'm happy that there's no segues busting through the walls for this.
Is there some water?
Yes.
We have plenty of water.
It's
so.
Right there. And about the 10 minutes, guys. 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. 10 minutes. Awesome.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and introduce our next interview. As we were talking, we just finished the Daniel Ellsberg keynote, and here we have Mr. Ellsberg himself. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
We're a real station now. I feel I'm very honored.
Are you all on the Statler?
Yes,
we are. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I've been running around doing interviews all day. Johnny's been just being the handsome devil himself.
I've been managing the social networks and the IRC and all that. Yeah. So it's great to have you here.
Mm-hmm.
We were just discussing how interesting it is that you guys keep finding ways to push this subject home. The fact that, you know, we had Edward's big leak a while ago, and so it was one massive leak, and Americans...
You're talking about a year ago when he first came out.
Right. Yeah. Americans having the ADD that they do will get all in a big uproar over whatever it is, and then a month later, we'll all go back to our sitcoms and cartoons.
Fortunately, his stuff is coming out regularly anyway.
Right, and so it's coming out of this nice, this nice
feed.
And whenever I see him come out to speak, I go, well, what is he going to say now that he hasn't already said?
Yeah.
Both he and you have this way of coming out and really getting everyone on track and keeping everyone on track and going, listen, this is really important. This is still important. And it's important to every living human being, not even just in America, but on Earth.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe you can... Yeah.
Well, people ask, why did Snowden bring out stuff, not just about what the government is doing, the NSA is doing, to American people, but what about what they're doing to the world at large, which is supposedly an intelligence job, you know, that's what
exactly.
They're doing. It used to be, in theory, their only job, but it never was their only job. They were always listening to us, too, illegally. The answer, I believe, is that he wanted to reveal and has revealed that this is not just an American problem, this is a world problem, and that although he says, I was interested to hear him say on The Guardian just yesterday, that he believes there are even major countries that don't do this on the scale, even though they could afford to. He raised the question whether Germany does it to us, for example.
Right.
I don't know the answer to that, but my guess would be that every government will be doing this to the extent they feel they can afford it.
Sure.
Not restrained by any other constraint, but just how it conflicts with their other priorities. And as the technology becomes more and more available, I think more and more people will be subject to it. And he wants, he of course in general is against the mass surveillance by anybody and by us against everybody. In other words, he's saying that even Russia, which is, we're being told now, is again an adversary. A new Cold War seems to be in process. But even so, he does not approve of mass surveillance of Russia. And not just because he's there, but of China or anywhere else, or France, or Germany, or England.
Right.
And by the way, this Five Eyes agreement, supposedly, that they don't that they don't listen to each other.
Yeah.
I've never believed that
for a minute.
I hope they don't, particularly. That's ridiculous. I'm sure that we listen to them as much as we can get away with.
Right. And it is great that, I'm of the opinion that it's great that we're putting it back in this perspective of it being a Cold War, because that's what it is. It's not a friendly dispute or a little bit of a hiccup in the road. It's definitely a Cold War that's going on.
And it's a true cyber war, too, now. We've, I think, officially have entered in that phrase. It's not just a concept that we blurted out in the late 90s. It's reality now.
Well, so I think that Snowden, and I haven't fully discussed this with him. I have a little in the past, really wanted the people of the world to know it's a new world in which we, the people of all the world, are living in a goldfish bowl. We are increasingly transparent, first to the US of A, but also to their own governments and to other governments, and that they have to learn how to adapt to that somehow. And if they want some privacy or democracy and free association, his point especially is that they have to learn to encrypt and have to take new precautions.
Yes.
If I have a difference with him that got, it's just a, it's a intuition in a way, maybe I'm just too old and too ignorant technologically to put as much trust as he does in technology as the solution. I have no doubt that it's part of the, a major part of the solution, technology that will allow people to be anonymous from their own governments or from other governments. But I find it hard to believe that with the NSA working on this very that you can ever really fully trust
it's
I'm going to side with you on that, absolutely.
It's a human problem. All root problems with usability and technology results in us because we're the ones who build that technology. So if we're misusing it or not using it to its potential, it will always be an error on our side.
Well, I think we've just come so far into it, and the NSA has so much resources and money to put behind it that no matter what we build, there's they're going to have a workaround.
Well, he makes a very strong point, which I do accept his authority on and for his knowledge, which is that we can make it hard even for the NSA.
Sure, absolutely.
And that we shouldn't take the attitude, this is what I learned from him, that since they can get everything eventually on any of us, it's no use even trying to make things hard.
Exactly. You should never have that defeatist attitude. You should always try and always keep trying, because you will always succeed, and then eventually you will fail, and you will just need to succeed again. And
well put.
The Cold War battle we're having now is the fight to choice, the fight to choose to fight. That's the way I feel like it's going on.
The fight to choose to fight.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way of putting that ADD we have of going, well, Dharma and Greg is on, so I have to get back to my television. I think that having us think of this as a Cold War, we have to be careful not to take that sentiment against the people of a country that we're against.
Well, that's what he's saying, that mass surveillance is not justified and should be regarded as wrong in any circumstances, even wartime circumstances. Now, if there were a hot war going on, you have to believe the government will do whatever it can do technologically, and will go ahead and do that. But we should at least resist when the reinstallation of a institution of a Cold War. I would say.
Absolutely, absolutely. The bottom line, I think, here is that mass surveillance being done just in case we need the information that's being gathered is absolutely unacceptable.
You know, there's another point I meant to make and that I didn't fully make. which is, and it's again a little disagreement with Ed, on which his knowledge is vastly greater, but my experience is older in a way. I find it very hard to believe that NSA and the Department of Justice and the White House is not doing everything that J. Edgar Hoover did in the way of criminality throughout here. And
well,
I don't think
yes,
that mass surveillance is the only problem. I think, in fact, a more urgent problem very well may be the targeted surveillance that I believe, without any direct evidence, is going on just as it did under J. Edgar Hoover and the NSA during that whole period, illegally. I'm not sure where... Well, Ed wasn't apparently directly privy to this. But I think that what was revealed, for example, in the book The Burglary by Betty Metzger about the people who broke in to the Media Pennsylvania office of the FBI and revealed the so-called COINTEL program, counterinsurgency program of the FBI. That includes, by the way, not just listening to people, but inserting false messages into the system.
Right.
Counterfeit, which the digital age makes straightforward, much easier than it ever used to be. And we didn't
get,
I don't think we got into that today, but he may have alluded to it at one point. But I would expect right now that the NSA is targeting surveillance onto journalists, congresspersons, and especially people who control the budget for NSA, just as J. Edgar Hoover did, and any kind of dissenters in general. And we have to get into that, which means we need Snowden, a Snowden from the FBI, more Snowdens from the NSA, Snowdens from the White House.
An army of them.
They have a lot to tell us.
Yes. Something real quick that Johnny and I were talking about, we're also glad that got addressed at the end, is Snowden wants everyone to think, because there's a great fear of not just the government coming in, putting disinformation, controlling everything, but of also what the media is doing with the over-evangelization of the people who report this information, distracting it from the cause of what they actually
the
do.
The media is not, the mainstream media, this is a genuine low point for them. the low point as we went into the Iraq War. And they're encouraging us to get into a war over Ukraine, over Syria, just as Iran, just as they did over Iraq. So
that's where the money is now.
Yep.
So it isn't enough to have the whistleblowers. You have to have journalists who are willing to publish it. Yep. Glenn Greenwald's Guardian and others.
And that's what we feel the theme is that technology changes, but humans always remain the same. Anyhow, we could go on forever, but this is our time. It's a huge honor.
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Thank you so much.
So great to have you in here.
And we hope you enjoy the rest of the conference and the lovely people here who are willing to spread that sort of helpful anarchy.
This is the place. I know I've come to the right place.
You've given us projects for 10 more hopes.
It's got Dan Ellsberg's stamp of approval on it. This is the place.
Thank you.